Okay, for this week's Dvar Torah, I wanted to discuss, considering that the Yom Tov of Pesach is coming up, and Pesach, above all else, is the Yom Tov of Chinuch. It's the time that we have with our children. V'igadta Levincha is a mitzvah of specifically avos telling their children about the story of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I wanted to share an insight on the parsha that relates very much to the Chinuch of young children. Or of any children. The Medrash quotes a Minhag Yisrael to begin the chinuch of young children with teaching Sefer Vayikra. And the Medrash explains, Amar B'Yasya, Lama Him Aschilim Atinoka Shal B'Yisram L'Lamed B'Sefer Vayikra. Why do the young children start learning of the first thing they learn in Cheder, the first thing they learn in Yeshiva when they're very young, is Sefer Vayikra. El M'Pnei She'Kol HaKarbanos K'suvim Bo, because all the karbanos appear in Sefer Vayikra, children are totally pure up until this point, and they don't even know what an avera is. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let them start to study the karbanos. Yavou tahorim, v'yisasku b'ma'ase tahorim. Let the Tahorim come, these pure souls, these children come, and let them study actions of Tahorim. Ulafichach ani mala aleihem kilu hem omdim, umakrivim lefanei hakarbanos. The Medrash concludes, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will consider it as if they stand and bring karbanos, sacrifice karbanos, to me. So aside from the explanation of the Medrash, there has to be some message to the actual content of the Limur of Karbanos that we consider to be an appropriate foundation for Jewish education. And obviously the idea of Karbanos, of Tahara, and how children are Tahorim, that's very nice on a global scale. But on a more micro scale, there has to be some connection between what exactly we're teaching them and the foundations of Chinuch, what we're trying to set them on a path for the rest of their lives. Secondly, the Medrash writes, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amart aleihem, Adam ki yakruv mikem karban la'ashem, Zeu Shamra Kasov Haven Yakir Leafrayim. Asara Nikru Yikarim. There are 10 people that are called Yakar, that are called precious. Veiluhain, not 10 people, 10 entities that are called precious. Veiluhain, and they are the following: Hatorah, Vanavua, Vahatvuna, Vahadas, Vahsichlus, Vahosher, Vahatzadikim, Umisasun Shel Chasidim, Vahchesed, Vyisrael. Torah, prophecy, understanding, knowledge, foolishness, wealth, tzaddikim, the death of very righteous people, kindness, and Klal Yisrael. Now, what's the connection between Karbanos and the fact that the Bnei Yisrael are called Yikarim? When identifying Bnei Yisrael, why do we specifically refer to them by Ephraim? Havein Yakir Li Ephraim. That we see Bnei Yisrael is one of the 10 that's called Yakar from Havein Yakir Li Ephraim. So, obviously, Ephraim refers not just to Shevet Ephraim, but apparently to the entire Bnei Yisrael. So why specifically, when we refer to the preciousness of Bnei Yisrael, would we refer to Bnei Yisrael as Ephraim? And third, in Parshas Tzav, the Torah tells us that when performing the Trumas Hadeshen, the Kohen wears Midovad, which Rashi learns, Shetehei K'midaso. The clothes have to fit the Kohen perfectly. So Rav Moshe Wolfson in Sefer Emunah Sitecha asks, why did the Torah wait until Parshas Tzav to teach us halacha, which clearly applies to all the servers of the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash? Why do you have to wait until Parshas Tzav? You could have told it to us much earlier on. You could have told us at the end of Sefer Shemos, when we talk about the Mikdash. So again, three basic questions. Question number one, why do we specifically start a child's chinuch with the Sefer Vayikra? And again, with a specific focus on the content rather than the overall theme. Question number two, why is it that when the Torah wants to refer to the Jewish people as precious, as Yikarim, that we associate Jews with Ephraim specifically? And third, why is it that the Torah waits until Parshas Tzav to tell us that the Big Day Kuhuna are supposed to be Tehei K'midaso, that they're supposed to fit the Kohen perfectly? So when trying to identify the most central theme to Karbanos at Sefer Vayikra, one need not read past the first word of the Sefer. The Vayikra itself, the word Vayikra, has a small little aleph at the end of the word. The Medrash Tanchum explains, Vayikra Moshe, Zeshamar Kosov, Gaivas Adam Tashvilenu, Ushval Ruach Yitmach Kavav. That a person who has gaiva, ultimately his gaiva will lower him, but if he has a low spirit, that will grant him the greatest kavod. Kol mi sherodef achar srara, srara barachas mimenu. Anyone who chases after srara, who chases after some high position of authority, the authority will run away from him. V'kol mi shebareach mi srara, srara defes acharav. But anyone who runs away from a position of authority, a position of authority over other people, so the srara will chase him and will ultimately find him. What's the example? Moshe barach min asrara, v'rad fa'achrav. Moshe was not interested in leading the Jewish people. He spent 7 days at the burning bush telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, shlach na b'yad tishlach, I'm not interested, I don't want it. And what happens? The srara finds him and he becomes the leader of the Jewish people. L'kayim ha'shnemar gav esadim tishpalenu, u'shval ruach yitmach kavod. Ze Moshe shnemar v'tachsrei ma'at me'elkim, and that's the Moshe that we refer to when we say that God calls out to Moshe. So the Baal Turim explains, that Moshe was such a great man and such a humble man, all he wanted to write was Vav Yud Kuf Resh. Vayikar, Lashon Mikra, Ki'ilu lo dibra HaKadosh Baruch Hu imo, b'chalom, as if God hadn't singled him out, that God just happened to speak to him in a dream. Kederek shenemar b'Bilam, just like God spoke to Bilam, kilu lo nirlo Hashem el b'mikra, that God just happened to run into him. V'amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu lichtov gam ha'alef, but God said, no, you're different. I did seek you out, I did call you, and therefore you need to put the aleph at the end of the word. V'shov amal Moshe machmas rov anava, shelo yichtovenu el ketana yoser mishar lofen shebetorah, v'kasva ketana. So Moshe said, okay, if I'm going to have to write the Aleph, at least let me write it smaller, so that someone who's reading quickly, maybe isn't paying such careful attention, will at least read the word as Vayikar. The humility of Moshe is the very first thing to be highlighted in Sefer Vayikra. And that's a very fitting introduction to the entire Sefer, in that humility is also the underlying theme of all of the Karbanos. The Sforno explains, Adam ki yakrav mikem. What does it mean, Adam ki yakrav mikem? That we give a piece of ourselves over when we bring a karban. It's as if we are giving ourselves up as a karban with vidui dvarim, by expressing a vidui, and hachna'a, with a sense of humility. Every karban involves humbling ourselves in front of God. Pasuk tells us in Tehillim Perek Nun Aleph, uka'amro zivchei elokim ruach nishbara. The ultimate element of the sacrifice is the Ruach Nishbara, is the broken spirit. That's what the sacrifice is really all about. The idea of humility is not only the central theme of Karbanos, it also finds obvious expression in our tefillos, which are connected to Karbanos. What do we have today left from the Karbanos? We don't have Karbanos anymore, but the Tmidim, the tefillos, are connected to Karbanos. Either connected to Karbanos Tamid. So Rav Schwab explains that just as the Karban Tamid was an Ola that requires rather, just like the Karban Tamid was an Ola that requires to be, you needed to skin the Karban before being offered, we also find in Hilchos Tefillah that before davening, v'kacha yu'osim chasidim v'anshe maisa, shayum esbodidim u'mechavnim b'tefilasam, that chasidim v'anshe maisa would meditate and have kavanah in their tefillah ad shayum agiyim lehispashtus hagashmius. Till they got to the point where they were mafshit. It's as if they skinned off of themselves those layers of gashmius in order to achieve a proper tefillah. You first have to do a hefshet for our physical limitations, followed by v'tzaruch sheyachshov bedvarim hamachniyim alev. What's the next step? To think about things that humble the heart. We dissect our innermost thoughts until we've achieved true humility. And then we're ready to offer our tefillah, meaning our karban. And humility is not only central to karbanos, it's not only central to tefillah, but it's equally central to the education of a child. One can make a very strong argument that an accurate sense of self without bloated expectations and an understanding of the value of effort rather than achievement are the basic underpinnings to a proper chinuch. There was a New York Magazine article a couple of years ago. It was highlighted in an article by Jonathan Rosenblum, which discussed research done by a Stanford University professor, and the findings were very fascinating. Children who are praised from an early age for their native intelligence often become obsessed with protecting their image as smart. They tend to give up easily when they're intellectually challenged or do not grasp things immediately. They also come to devalue effort and to view working hard as a contradiction to their image as the smart kids. Ultimately, too much praise for their native intelligence can even cause them to underestimate their own abilities. Because they downplay the importance of effort, they may conclude that their failure to understand anything immediately proves that the earlier praise was unjustified. And in one fascinating experiment, Dweck and her team gave two groups of kids a puzzle to do. After completing the puzzle, one group was told, "You must be smart at this." The other group was told, "You must have worked really hard." And that single sentence was the only difference between the two groups. Next, the two groups were offered a choice. They could try another more difficult puzzle, from which they were told they were going to learn a lot, or do a second puzzle of an equal level of difficulty. A majority of those praised for being smart opted for the easier puzzle. Over 90% of those praised for their effort chose the more difficult puzzle. In a subsequent test, both groups were given a puzzle way above their grade level to work on. Those who had been praised for their effort kept plugging away, and even spontaneously expressed their enjoyment in trying to figure out the puzzle. Those who had been praised for their intelligence, however, began sweating profusely at the first signs of difficulty, and they looked miserable. Finally, the two groups were given a third puzzle as easy as the first. The performance of those who had received a single sentence of praise for effort improved 30% over the first test, while that of those who had been praised for their intelligence actually declined 20%. It's Yesod HaYesodos. Teaching kids to be humble, not to draw attention to themselves, not to set unrealistic expectations for themselves, is training them for success in all their endeavors, especially in Limud HaTorah. The biggest problem with trying to get kids, why is it that nowadays it's so hard to get kids to learn Gemara, to be interested in Gemara? Because kids were always told that they're really smart and everything's going to come easy to them, and Gemara doesn't come easy. It just doesn't. It's not the nature of the beast, is that it's difficult. So you have to be used to the idea of working hard and appreciate the value of hard work if you're going to succeed at it. I had a parent once that called me up in DRS. One of my Talmidim's parents called me up and said, "Look, you gave my son a 78 on the report card. And I understand, he deserved a 78. That's exactly what he deserved. But, you see, we always told him since he was little that he was brilliant. And we always told him he's going to get into Yale and Columbia and Penn and Harvard. Wherever he wants to go, he's going to be able to go because he's so, so brilliant. So can you just do me a favor, give him a 93? I was shocked. What kind of... You're killing your kid. You want me to murder your child also? It's unbelievable. How can you do that to a child? You set expectations like that, and what do you think he feels when he sits there in a classroom and he doesn't understand what's going on? What do you think he feels? How's he supposed to deal with that? How's he supposed to reconcile that with what he's been told his entire life? The Yesod HaYesodos of Chinuch is to tell children that it's not about your God-given gifts, it's about what you do with it, making the proper effort. And it doesn't really matter if you're the smartest kid or not the smartest kid. And you don't have to tell them how smart they are. Not every child needs to know how smart they are. It can only cripple them. Only tell them that you value their effort. And based on this idea, this Yesod HaYesodos, we can answer all the questions. The reason that the Medrash refers to us as Ephraim in the context of Korbanos can be explained based on Adas Kenim in Baal HaTosfos, who understands that Ephraim was named after Avram and Yitzchak. Avram said, "Anochi Afar ve'Efer." Yitzchak says, was ke'Efer al gabei mizbeach. Two Efers make up one Ephraim, multiple. That's the name that encapsulates the roots of the Jewish people in humility. Ephraim is Afar ve'Efer, the humility of an Avram Avinu, the humility of a Yitzchak by being willing to sacrifice himself up on a mizbeach for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when we refer to Ephraim, we refer to our roots of humility. When a person is humble, he's not going to view any job nor any relationship as something that's beneath him. A Kohen can think to himself that the value of the Big Day Kuna is that when one does something as important as the avoda, they need as important as the avoda, they better dress the part. Their clothing should be perfect and should be dignified. But the lesser jobs in the Beis Hamikdash, the Chumas Hadeshan, you shouldn't have to be so well groomed for that. That's why the Torah waits until Parshas Tzav. What's the Torah talking about in Parshas Tzav? Chumas Hadeshan. What's Chumas Hadeshan? Chumas Hadeshan is glorified, taking out the garbage. And the Torah wants to highlight, yes, you're doing the Chumas Hadeshan, but it's still important to have a perfectly tailored suit, to have perfectly tailored begadim. The Kohen who understands that the entire theme of the Avoda Bebeis HaMikdash will have no problem, is a lesson in humility, is a lesson of, I'm here to serve something greater than me. Whatever my role may be, whether it's what one would view as the most important role, or whether one may view it as just taking out the garbage. But if he understands that it's all Avodas Hashem, and it doesn't really matter how we view it on the value spectrum, but what matters is that you're doing an Avoda for something greater than you. Someone who understands that theme of the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, will have no problem appreciating the significance of every element of the Avoda. There's nothing that's going to be beneath such a person. Humility is the foundation of a well-adjusted and successful Jew. It is the Aleph Beis of Jewish living. An Anav doesn't look at any of the more menial jobs of Judaism, for instance, cleaning for Pesach, as being beneath him. More importantly, the Anav doesn't view any relationship with another person as beneath him. A son of a Hasidish Rebbe once told me that his father used to sit in Sukkah and dozens of people would come in and out visiting the Rebbe over the course of Sukkahs. Chayev adam mevaker pnei rabo v'regel. So people would come throughout the Yontif. And when a particularly unkempt, smelly, inappropriate, disgusting person walked in, the Rebbe sat him down right next to him at the head of the table. Right after the guy left, he sat there for a while. After the guy left, someone said to the Rebbe, "Rebbe, how did you even handle the smell? Well, let alone put the guy right at the front of the table. He was saying all sorts of inappropriate things. How could you have such a person sit right next to you?" And what he answered was so instructive. He said, "When I go up to Shamayim, Nachar Meya Ve'asrim Shana, and my neshama says it wants to sit next to the neshamos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Kol HaTzadikim B'chol HaDoros, they're going to say, such a smelly neshama. Why should I sit next to that neshama? How could it be sitting at that table? What does it belong here?" And you know what I'm going to be able to say? That when I was down in Olam Hazeh, there was nobody too vulgar for me to give kavod to. There was no one that was beneath me. A yid is a yid, and I give kavod to everybody. Someone who has that sense of balance, that sense of humility, he's prepared to be Oved the Ribono Shel Olam, he's prepared in his Bein Adam L'Makom, and he's going to be prepared for Bein Adam L'Chavero. He's going to be prepared to give everyone the respect that a human being and that a Jew deserves. And that's why it's the yisod of all chinuch. We start Sefer Vayikra with an Aleph Zeira, and we teach it to children at the youngest age. It's the first pasuk they see in Chumash. They see a Vayikra, and they see a Moshe Rabbeinu who's an Anav. And they learn that that's where greatness comes from. Greatness comes from humility, not from setting unrealistic expectations, not from convincing yourself that you are something you really aren't. Greatness comes from keeping a humble disposition, trying to serve your Creator, and trying to do for those around you.